Greetings and good morning, Western Colorado. Thank you for choosing KVNF, Mountain Grown Community Radio. It's 8 o'clock, and here's your local newscast for Tuesday, April 16th. Yesterday, the Bureau of Land Management released the names of companies that nominated parcels in the North Fork for gas leases. KVNF's Marty Derlin has more.
In all, 30,000 acres were nominated in the North Fork Valley for gas leases, near the Paonia Reservoir, adjacent to a Hotchkiss school, and across a landscape dotted with organic farms, ranches, and wineries. The leasing proposals brought more than 3,000 letters of protest and nationwide attention. The BLM withdrew the final parcels from the sale in February, right before the auction. To find out who nominated the parcels, the Paonia-based Citizens for a Healthy Community teamed with the Western Environmental Law Center, filing a Freedom of Information lawsuit against the federal government for withholding the names of the nominators. A precedent-setting ruling on February 13th by U.S. District Court Senior Judge Richard P. Mache found that the BLM violated the public's right to know when it concealed the identities of the nominators. The BLM had until yesterday, April 15th, to release the names or to appeal the ruling. They decided to release the names. Jim Ramey, executive director of CHC, talked about what we now know.
So there were three nominators overall. One was Gunnison Energy Corporation, who voluntarily told us last summer, hey, it was us. We nominated a few parcels by Paonia Reservoir, where we have existing activity. We did not nominate the lands that are down valley near the towns. But we learned today that the bulk of the lands were nominated by Baseline Minerals, and then a very small parcel, which I believe SG Interest had said in a public meeting they may had nominated up near Henderson Creek. That parcel was nominated by Contex Energy Company. These are landmen. They could be acting on behalf of a different drilling company. They could be acting as a speculator saying, hey, there's a lot of unleased acreage here that we could buy up probably at the cheapest available price and then maybe flip those lands and sell them for a profit to some other company down the line.
Do you think that companies will have a conscience about nominating parcels near a drinking reservoir or a school or those sorts of things? Do you think that might be a result of this transparency now?
I think there are a lot of resources here in the North Fork Valley that need to be protected from oil and gas development, and you'd like to hope that companies would have a conscience when they think about where they want to drill and frack. Gunnison Energy and SG Interest are both known quantities, but they're also both currently under investigation by the Department of Justice for collusion and for price gouging along the pipeline. So while they're known quantities, they don't exactly have the best track record.
Still, Ramey says it's a big step forward for citizens in energy-rich areas near public lands.
I think that this is a real big victory for open government, and this is a big victory for communities across the West who have public lands that come right up to the border of their town like we have in Paonia and Crawford and Hotchkiss.
For KVNF News, I'm Marty Derlin.
A bill that would change the way Colorado holds future elections got its first test at the state capitol on Monday. After hours of testimony, the bill passed the hearing 7-4 along a party-line vote. KUNC's Nathan Heffel has more from the state capitol.
The changes include same-day voter registration and converting most elections to mail-in ballot. Bill sponsor Democrat Dan Pabon of Denver says the changes are necessary to modernize Colorado's voting procedures.
It will make our elections system simpler. Simpler for voters and simpler for those administering our elections. It will make elections less expensive for local governments. And it modernizes the system so that it is more secure and in line with 21st century technology and 21st century standards.
The bill would also eliminate precinct voting in favor of countywide voting centers. However, one of the most outspoken opponents of the bill, Republican Secretary of State Scott Gessler, says the changes are unwarranted, costly, and not what the people of Colorado want.
I went on a listening tour in the state here, all over the state, over the course of multiple weeks. Never once did I hear people demand expansion of early voting. Never once did I hear people ask for same-day voter registration. Never once did I hear people ask for all-mail ballots. And I went to a lot of counties for a lot of days.
While the Secretary of State's office is opposed to the bill, the Colorado County Clerks Association is not. It says over three-quarters of its counties support the changes that they say would make voting easier and cheaper. For KUNC, I'm Nathan Heffel at the State Capitol.
The Grand Junction Daily Sentinel reports that Garfield County commissioners are challenging a federal government proposal that slashes available acreage for oil shale leasing in Colorado to a fraction of its previous amount. County commissioners today agreed to file a formal protest of a revised Bureau of Land Management proposal that would open just 26,000 acres for oil shale leasing in Colorado. That compares to about 360,000 acres previously made available in 2008. Across Colorado, Utah, and Wyoming, the BLM is proposing making about 677,000 acres available for leasing application, down from about 2 million acres. What are considered the world's richest oil shale deposits are centered in Garfield and Rio Blanco counties. Besides the protest, Garfield commissioners are filing a request for review of the BLM plan under the Information Quality Act. They say its current plan is based on an outdated 2008 study and fails to consider technological improvements that have reduced the water requirements associated with oil shale development and increased the amount of energy produced compared to what's consumed in the process. Garfield County also disputes the federal government's contention that oil shale has yet to be proved commercially viable. The BLM also removed significant Colorado acreage to protect habitat for the greater sage grouse to try to keep it from being listed as a threatened or endangered species. According to the Sentinel, Commissioner Tom Jankowski said oil shale can be developed responsibly while benefiting Garfield, Rio Blanco, and Mesa counties through jobs and revenues. BLM spokesman David Boyd said the agency will respond to the county's protest and any others after having a chance to thoroughly review them. Todd Hartman from the State Department of Natural Resources says two new monitoring wells on the south side of Parachute Creek detected benzene at 490 and 520 parts per billion. 5 parts per billion is considered safe. However, a series of 5 monitoring wells continuing downstream on both sides of the creek did not detect benzene. This suggests the extent of impacted groundwater is beginning to take shape, according to Hartman. Operators pumping from new recovery trenches on the north side of the creek late last week captured 78 barrels of water and 96 gallons, a little more than 2 barrels, of hydrocarbons. This brings the total of hydrocarbon liquids collected on the entire site to about 144 barrels. The latest surface water sampling results did not show any contamination at any monitoring points, including at the point 2.7 miles downstream of the investigation area, where the town of Parachute diverts water to its irrigation reservoir. Williams Companies own the property and discovered the leak of hydrocarbons and polluted groundwater in early March. Williams now says the leak from a gas pipe valve occurred back in December. Hartman says the state's Oil and Gas Commission remains in close communication with the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment and the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency about this situation. Finally, today, the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel reports that 5 Hotchkiss High School students took first place and $600 in an Aspen Arts competition with their creation, Rufus. Using old chicken wire, they created a bulldog that measured 7.5 feet long and 6.5 feet tall. Sophomores Wesley Harden, Brandon Beck, and Alex Smith, along with freshmen James LaValle and Jaden Simpson, teamed up to sculpt a bulldog. The school mascot, as part of an Aspen Art Gallery's competition to use recycled or reused materials. The boys competed in the high school division with other schools across Colorado. Rufus will be on display at the Red Brick Center for the Arts in Aspen through April 23rd as part of the Echo Art Exhibition. After the exhibit closes, Rufus will be moved to Hotchkiss High School. The students hauled Rufus over McClure Pass for judging in Aspen and will bring the bulldog back this month. The aspiring artists used a Chevrolet Silverado to haul three truckloads of chicken wire to the school to build Rufus after hours. They also welded horseshoes together to make his collar. The boys, who called themselves the Alpha Squad, put the sculpture together in pieces at the school. Nearly 40 art students from Hotchkiss attended the awards ceremony in Aspen last Thursday, when the quintet was recognized for its winning sculpture. And thus concludes your daily newscast for Tuesday. For KVNF Mountain Grown Community Radio, this is Eric Gould. Have a great day, everybody, and thanks so much for listening.